Hey, look at Joelle's new background, Donald.
Holy cow, it's like she's at the stairs or something.
Look at that tour.
Like
look
that.
At that, bro. Look at that. Look at that, Donald.
Wow, she got steps and shit
she's
now.
Got,
look at
she's
you.
Got a big ass house. We've been moving on up to a townhouse.
We came in.
To the deluxe apartment in the sky.
Joelle, you don't look as jovial as someone who just moved into a dope new house should look.
She's stoned to the bone.
No, this moving in with ADHD is really a challenge. There are boxes everywhere. I'm like trying to get myself organized. I'm so happy to be out of my old space and that we have all of this room and I can see the vision and I'm very excited, but we're not quite there yet. And,
well, listen, you got to give yourself, Joelle, you got to give yourself time to live amidst the chaos.
You sound just like my baby brother. He's and the exact same thing to me.
No, you're going to drive yourself crazy. It's going to take like a month or so to get it all.
That's so long.
Well, you can, listen, if you guys go balls to the wall, I just imagine you don't have all the furniture yet, right? You need to get some furniture.
Yeah, no, we got to get a couch. Well, I'm sitting on like an ottoman right now.
Speaking of the vision, did you watch WandaVision?
I watched the first three episodes.
How did you get the first three?
she's a critic. We got
hold
a box.
On, man.
We got the box too. Flo got sent a whole box. I think it's like Marvel Insider shit.
You got all of it? Did you get the whole series?
We got the box set. Yeah,
man.
If you do me a favor, I'm gonna be honest with you, man.
Daniel, you and I, man, we don't get the perks that these it's two okay. get. These two get the perks. You know what I mean?
Well, she's a critic. I'm in every union and guild there is, and my girlfriend's in a Marvel movie, so we get a lot of shit.
Yeah, well, I'm in a closet. Okay,
I will loan you our WandaVision box set if you do me a favor.
If favor is, what is favor? Hold on. What is said favor?
Whatever you're willing, however far you're willing to go.
No. Oh my God. I've seen this type of porn before. No.
You've seen friends help each other out, the porno?
Yeah, I know how that starts off.
Yeah, me too. Hey man, will you help me shower? I broke my arm. Hey,
oh my God, I'm stuck under the sink. Could you take my pants off for me?
Yeah. Yeah, man, doctor says I'm supposed to beat off like 5 times a week, but with these two broken arms.
I can't do it. Even better. Doctor says I'm supposed to beat off like 5 times a week. I could totally do it. I just need a target. Can I use your face?
Oh, my God. Anyway, welcome everyone to the program. Joelle, you bopped off for a second and missed a really beautiful segue.
Oh, I heard it all. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the program. We have the season 3 finale, everybody. We're going so fast, guys.
Oh, my God.
We are 1/3 of the way through this rewatch podcast.
Wow.
A lot of people weighing in on social media saying they would love us to do another show, like Friends or The Office.
I think we should do like Martin.
I know, you said that last time. I don't want to do
Martin. Or A Different World. That would be a good one. A Different World would be a good one.
I think
that
you
got to
do
really
one, just from a listener point of view, I think you want to do one that the bulk of our fan base overlaps with enjoying that show. So that's why it would be like Parks and Rec or The Office or Friends, stuff that's in our style. You know what I mean?
I totally understand.
Something that Scrubs viewers would probably also want to binge.
No, I totally get it. I get it.
So sorry about Martin.
Yeah, I totally get it. I totally get it.
Why do you have this weird? I feel like something's coming. Something's brewing. It's like I hear.
Nothing's coming. They can hear it. They can hear it in my voice already.
Yeah,
I totally get it. Okay, I get it.
Listen, How was your weekend?
My weekend was decent.
It was hot.
I spent it with the kids.
Yeah.
That's what we did. We made some, delicious meals for my children, which they did not eat. Which
I saw
awesome.
The chicken and waffles, you mean.
They ate that. Oh, they ate that.
Yeah. That
looks they just
good.
Don't eat the other things. They don't eat the sophisticated things like the oxtail. They're like, nah, I don't want that.
We've been watching a Top Chef, which I love. And there's one guy who does a lot of soul food cooking, and it made me miss Roscoe's chicken and waffles.
Mm. Oh, man, that's why I made those chicken and waffles the other night, last night. I needed it for my soul. I did, man.
I wonder if you can get Roscoe's on what do you call it, Postmates.
You can get anything on Postmates, man. You can get diamonds on Postmates.
You can get diamonds on Postmates?
Dude, go shopping on Postmates. You'd be surprised what you'll find.
That'd be funny. Can you go buy an engagement ring? I'd like this cut.
I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Aaron Brothers has a freaking Postmates connection. Just type Aaron. That's AARON/diamonds for your 25% off.
I don't think Aaron Brothers sells diamonds.
I know. I'm making shit up, dude.
Look how cute my dog is right now. She's under the pillow. Joelle, look.
Oh, what a sweetie.
She's so cute.
She's so cute.
I saw Nomadland, which is really good. It's really good.
That's that Tom Hanks movie?
No, Nomadland is the one with Frances McDormand, who adopts this lifestyle of living in her van because she has no money. And the film follows this sort of trend, if you will, of people who either because they choose the life or because they don't have enough money to have a home, begin to live in their vans. And people trick them out in all different ways. And some of them are sort of migrant workers. They go where the work is. This character goes to work at Amazon for the holidays. Then she goes and she works, in different restaurants, depending on what time of year it is. Anyway, it's about this sort of life that these people live. And you're watching it and you're going, wow, these people are so real that they've found to be in the film with her. I've never seen any of these faces before. And they're all so extraordinary. Turns out they're all the real people. They just took a small crew and like embedded with all the real people. So there'll be a woman who's telling you this like heartbreaking story about how she ended up living in her van and losing her child. And you're just like, wow, what an actress. I can't believe I never seen her before. She's telling her story.
Wow.
It's fucking beautiful. I really highly recommend it.
Did you watch it on a streaming service?
I watched it. I have the screener. I think I watched the DVD of it.
Lucky.
But why is it not out yet, Joel?
I'm not sure. I was just wondering if we could direct people to it. Let me see.
Will you look for me? It must be out.
Yeah.
But I really recommend it. Frances McDormand, of course, is just an extraordinary actress. Now, me, I'm OCD, so whenever I see something that intrigues me, I then go balls out and research it for hours and hours. And I went down the rabbit hole of conversion vans. Because some of these vans are so cool.
Are you
going to
trick out a van? Are you going to Scooby Doo a van? You should totally Mystery Machine a van. Mystery Machine a van.
I wouldn't paint it like the Mystery Machine, but you can go. There's so many people now that are tricking out like Sprinter vans, you know? And they're so cool.
Turn that shit into a fucking Kanye West gift that he gave to freaking Future type situation.
Yes. Maybe
that's a tricked out van right there.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Joelle just told me it's on Hulu, guys. Anyway, check it out. It's a slow-paced, artful indie. But
this is Chloe Zhao. Nothing's wrong. Yes. Chloe did an incredible movie, 2 years ago about like cowboys.
I think it's called Cowboy.
It's called The Writer from 2017.
Oh, sorry.
So good.
Yeah, Florence had seen that and I haven't. That her other film is called The Writer, and I believe she does the same thing in that she casts all the real people.
Yeah.
Right. But last thing I'll say about Nomadland is as a director, I'm going back and forth. Like, I'm going, are these the real people or no way? This performance is too amazing for someone who's not an actor. And then the credits come up and every single, it'll be like Jim Smith, Tim Baker. It's all the fucking people. So cool. Other than her and David Strathairn, I think it's all real people. Anyway, I highly recommend it.
Right on. I'm waiting to catch my stride, man. You know what I mean? I'm waiting to hit that stride, just like we all are. It's a beautiful thing when you find it, too. Like, I feel like the person that's found it is like, you know, when Tom Hanks found it, it was like back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back Oscars and award season. Mahershala Ali, that's another person who found it. You know what I mean? It was something that all of a sudden clicked. Yep. All of a sudden. You know what I mean? And I hope for every actor out there, you know, I know we all search for it, but it is my dream to find that. And I hope for you, Zach, I hope you find it one day. I hope for everyone that that moment where it finally clicks and something, because it's so chaotic, man. You know what I mean? It's all so chaotic. To find, you said it best. To find the perfect performance, they literally had to get somebody who experienced it to make it work. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, as actors, we try to get there. And I truly hope for myself. I hope for you. I hope for anyone out there who's an actor and is listening. I hope that you find it, man, because that it's the forever journey. I'm getting emotional thinking about it right now, man. It's that forever journey, man. And if you do find it, and if you are able to touch it, congratulations.
All you got to do is keep going all out for everything that comes up. You know, you're only one audition away from a role that'll change your life. And that doesn't matter if you're a known actor like Donald or if you're a struggling actor listening. You're one incredible audition away from having your whole life change. And all you can do is go all out. Never phone anything in. Always do the work. And it's always a roll of the dice, but if are you prepared for that? You know, when I'm directing, I have actors come in and they act like they got it this morning and it's not memorized. And no, shit happens. People that, you know, they don't have time to memorize it. Their kid was homesick from school, whatever. But you're never going to be able to compete with the people out there who are going 100% every single time. So you have to do that.
It's rigged. Well, you know. But that's the other thing, though. You think once you get in, also, I'm in, we're golden. Just because you're in doesn't mean that spot's yours forever. You got to continue to earn it. And
it could be gone the next year. Remember when Mickey Rourke had this fucking extraordinary comeback when he did the wrestling movie, The Wrestler. Yeah,
The Wrestler.
And it was like, it reminded everyone, holy fuck, what a great actor. And then it was like, okay, well, here comes his giant second chapter. And it didn't happen.
Right. Well, he did Iron Man. Part two. He was in Iron Man Part Two. Right.
Well, you know, you know what I mean. I mean, like,
I know how great of an actor he is. Like,
it's just the first thing that came to my mind. There's a zillion examples of people like. It's just so many things have to line up, dude. It's not just talent. Obviously, it's talent. Obviously, it's you going your balls out best. But then it's like, you know, is the right role lined up for you?
You know, crazy is that us being home now and everything like that, we get to look at the self tapes that we send in, right?
Right.
And so I'll sometimes sit there and I'll spend hours on a self-tape trying to get the perfect tape. And then I'll look at it and I'll be like, holy shit, I'm fucking killing this shit. Like when I did Emergence, I remember when I was doing Emergence, I was like, if anybody sees this show that's in the entertainment industry, I got a job coming my way. This shit is real in the field. It's real.
Right.
It's like the same thing when you get your audition tapes and you send them out. And then when they go, it's not going any further. You're like, wait a second, what? Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Did they watch the tape?
They must not have seen the tape.
They didn't see the tape. If they saw
What about when you find out who they hired and you're like, what?
Yeah, dude, that happened recently. And my wife looked at me like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. And I was like, babe, come on now, babe. I was like, no envy. You can't be envious of this shit. You got to let it go. And she was like, babe, I'm sorry. And my wife is my biggest fan. She's like the hype man that gets you into the fight. You know what I mean?
Right,
she's not the hype man that's like, yo, we got Donald Faison up in here. Everybody go crazy. She's the one that's like, yo, you don't know who the fuck this is? You don't know who my man is? You need to motherfucking understand.
I love
who
that about
my
her.
Man is.
I love that about her.
Yo, baby, tell him who you are. Tell him who you are, baby. Tell him who you are.
Does she read with you for your self-tapes?
Yeah, she reads with me. She gives me directions. Like I'll be rehearsing it, and she'll go. You're not gonna do it like that, are you? And I'll be like, what?
Oh my god!
Like that? Are you gonna do it like that? You shouldn't do it like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, we can't do this anymore. You're not gonna. I don't need you to rehearse this.
Yeah, I can imagine you guys would get into an argument over that.
We fight. Oh god, yeah. We fight so big time. We fight so when it comes to the work. Oh my God, we argue so much. And I know it's coming from a great place because she wants what's best for me, but she's not an actress. You know what I mean? But she thinks she can memorize shit real quick. It's automatic. Like she'll read it once and then it's memorized. But the infliction and the tone and the way she's saying it is kind of off, always.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's memorized and I'm struggling to memorize it, she's like, oh, God. She's like, she gives me the, you're so terrible at this. Like,
oh,
she's
my
like,
God.
I should be an actress. Oh, my God.
Do you remember? I once so directed mean. Casey Cobb in a video that was never released. Do you remember that?
Oh, God, yeah. I do remember that.
So you can cut this if you want to, but I got to tell these guys. I went, so we were doing a PSA for, what was it? Casey's charity.
Yeah, Souls for Souls.
Souls for Souls. It was an idea like you donate a pair of shoes. Where are you going?
Well, I want to hear the story.
Is he going to grab Casey? I bet he's going to grab Casey. Or maybe he's asking her if we can tell the story.
Babe.
He might be asking her if we're allowed to tell the story. I'll tell a PG version of it.
I want to hear the R version.
Yeah, seriously.
Why'd you just get up and leave?
I went to go get the girl.
Oh, is she coming?
Yeah, she's here.
Oh. Hi. Am I allowed to tell the story?
Yeah. Put it on. Hi, guys.
Well, Donald was talking about how you give him direction when he's doing his audition tapes.
Yeah, I'm not allowed. Well, we don't do it anymore together.
Why, because you're too mean? You're too hard of a director?
You know what? I should have been a director. I really should have because...
See, here we go. So we're talking about my auditions and how you help me out with my auditions.
Well,
go ahead, tell
first
them, baby.
Of all, I get annoyed when he says, hey, babe, can we read this? Can you run this with me? And I run it, and he doesn't know it. That, to me, is one of my biggest pet peeves. Because
yeah, you got to know it. Why is he memorizing before he comes to you?
No, I do
remember. Exactly. Okay. But also, after the 18th time, after like the 18th time, I'm off book.
She's got it memorized and you don't, Donald.
And so then.
Oh, I would hate that. If my girlfriend had it memorized before me and she wasn't the one auditioning,
I'd be so mad. Every single time. And then, stop. And then I say, why don't you go back and study it some more and we'll practice again later?
Because what should you do? Should you have been an actress, though?
I should have been a director.
Okay.
So then he comes back. And we do it again. I'm like, is that how you're going to do that? Is that, it doesn't sound like we're in a conversation. That sounds like you've memorized. And I'm like.
Oh my God, look at his face. I wish the audience could see his face for now. He's so mad.
So mad, we'll fight. And then he won't speak to me for 3 days.
Oh God.
But literally it's like, and then one time, I don't know if he told
me. Get out of here, that's my cookies.
There was one time. That he had this big audition for something. And I'm just going to say in retrospect, it bombed. So it was a blessing in disguise.
Yo, it was for the...
Again.
I will cut that. Like,
it bombed and the movie was bad, but keeping it 100.
Yeah, we studied it forever and ever. I read lines with it. I mean, I was in the...
She gave me line readings and
scene.
Everything. She gave me line readings.
And then I'm going to tell you, when he delivered, I said, I think you need to think of and picture and imagine... Robert Duvall in this scene and how he would do this. He goes and does the audition. He doesn't get the role. It's my fault.
Yeah, because you steered him towards being Duvall-esque.
Yes. So when that movie bombed, it was the best thing that happened in my life in that year.
I can't even watch movies that I've auditioned. Like, even if the movie's bad, I'm still jealous and mad that I didn't get the movie. Like, right, there's so many movies that have come out where I was like, man, I should have got that, and I didn't.
Listen, Casey, I was going to tell the story about how I once directed you, but we can edit it out if you don't want, but I'll try and tell it delicately.
Is this the hair commercial?
No, this is the Souls for Souls with Jessica Simpson.
Oh, yes.
So Casey has a charity she's involved with called Souls for Souls that donates shoes to those who need shoes. And Donald and I did a public service announcement for them. And I'm like, and Casey's like, hey, I think I can get Jessica to do one. Can you come up with an idea? And we can execute it. We'll shoot it at her house. You know, I'll be in it. It'll be great. I'm like, sure, Casey, that'll be fun. So me and Donald's had like sexual innuendo and it was like, you know, us being us, just being stupid, and then trying to, you know, get a lot of eyeballs on it. And then it was, okay, let's go donate shoes for Souls for Souls. So we wanted to do the same thing with Jessica. So I go, Casey, why don't we do an idea where Jessica's fallen asleep under the covers with her shoes on.
Oh God.
And you come in, you're her friend, and you're like, oh, and you know, you see her struggling to get her shoes off, and you try and help her because she's fallen asleep under the covers with her shoes on. And she's like, and I go, the joke will be like, you're not sure what she's doing. Like it'll be a little bit like, is she playing with herself or something? And then, and then it'll be revealed that no, she's just struggling to get her shoes off. So we go to Jessica's house. Casey's there, and Jessica has friends over, and I'm like, oh God, how are we gonna do this? She's got friends over, whatever. We're gonna figure it out. So we go up into one of the bedrooms, and Casey's there with me, and Jessica hasn't really, you know, read or memorized what we're trying to do, and we're like, all right. So Jessica, you're basically trying to get your shoes off, but I need the audience to think that you might be masturbating.
Oh God.
And then the idea is that Casey comes in and goes, what are you doing? So we start filming. Jessica's like, and I go, all right, cut. Jessica, we need the audience to sort of kind of be on the like, it could go either way. Like, you're either trying to get your shoe, like, you know, like, picture you're struggling to get your shoes off and you're like, but it also has to be a little bit like unclear what you're doing, but it can't be like, you know, full on porno. She's like, okay, I got it. Okay, take two.
Keep in mind, it's just me, Zach, and Jessica in the room together, and I'm mortified.
And then Casey comes in. She turns like, Jessica, what are you doing? And then she pulls back the covers and she's like, I'm trying to get my shoes off. Anyway, we did the best we could. We cut it together. Casey and I were laughing. We showed it to Jessica and her team. And they were like, there's no fucking way you're putting this on the internet. So Casey and I are the only people that have ever seen the PSA that we made.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But anyway, can you still go to Souls for Souls, Casey? Oh my God. You can still go to Souls for Souls and donate shoes, but yes, only Casey and I will ever see the unreleased director's cut of Jessica Simpson has a fake orgasm.
Literally the most awkward, random situation I've ever been in.
It was so funny. It was so funny, but I agree with her family. You couldn't really release it because it was too X-rated. Yeah,
and not to mention, we shot that part, 37 times? And finally, we were like, I think this is about as good as it's going
to get. Yeah. The truth is, we would have directed a lot of traffic to a good charity. All right, Casey, we got to start this show.
Bye, guys.
Up.
Bye.
All right. Bye, Casey. Be well.
Look how everybody's up here because y'all can't be without me for 5 minutes. My God. Come on.
Y'all can't be without me for 5 minutes. Oh, they're so cute in their uniforms. They're just paraded by in their little uniforms. I love that the whole family's in the closet.
Oh, boy.
All right. We got Judy Reyes here, everybody, for the season finale of season 3. Here we go.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that we all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Donald.
Mm-hmm. All right, here comes Donald's recap. I hope on behalf of everyone that he chose to pre-write it this time?
No, it's freestyle again. I like the freestyle.
God.
I like the beat. The beat Thank was you. Fire, first of all.
Yeah, the beat was Daniel. Good, Daniel.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And so the beat because was fire. Of and that, I was like...
Oh, God. I was worried. I saw like one positive Instagram comment.
I saw
comment,
quite a few.
And I was like, oh, shit. Instagram now he's never going to write it again. He's going to rely on Daniel's beat.
Let's go.
All right, drop Here the beat, go. Daniel.
Turk and Carla finally reached their wedding day. Jordan and Cox have the house to themselves. If you're married with kids, you know exactly how special that is. JD and Elliot are beefing. And is it Danny or Doug or Danny and Ted or is it Danny and Sean? I don't know. But Danny get around like Tupac. Marriage is a beautiful thing.
when you get it right.
Yeah. Good work. That was funny.
Come on, by the way, that was a good one.
That was a good one, Donald. A nice beat, Daniel.
Thank you.
Dude, I got to tell you, this is a great episode.
Yeah,
and
it's good.
It goes without saying. You got Tim Holbert, one of our best writers, with Bill Lawrence directing. And it's just a great one. It's the story's great. It's funny as shit. It's romantic. It's got everything you want. It's even got George Takei, for God's sakes.
It's got Sulu.
Yeah, Sulu.
Sulu is up in this piece. And I even do the flip phone for him just to give it a little bit of a Star Trek reference. To click, click.
Oh, I didn't even get that.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about some trivia. We have Judy coming any moment. She had to join us belatedly. So before you guys say you're taking too long, we're stalling for waiting for Judy. I saw on Scrubs Wiki. So this is Judy's sister, right? One of these is Judy's real twin.
Yeah, the one who gets her eyebrow shaved off is her actual twin.
Right. So that's Judy's, obviously, fraternal twin. This is the very first episode where Dr. Kelso calls you Turkleton.
Yeah. And Mrs. Turkleton.
Yeah, and Mrs. Turkleton. Very funny. Kelso hammered.
So wait, let me get this straight. Sir, you think my name is Turkleton?
Yeah. And he goes, and Mrs. Turkleton, the Turkletons.
The Turkleton.
And then he goes, can I get a scotch?
A bucket of scotch.
Yeah.
Oh, he my God.
Hammered Kelso is funny.
Hammered Kelso is funny.
Jocelyn Reyes is... Jocelyn. Jocelyn. That's what I said.
Mm-hmm. Renee was the bartender. Did you catch
yes.
that?
Yes. And for those of you playing along, the bartender who first serves Kelso at the wedding... was Sarah's stand-in, Renee. And I think this is the first time she's ever on camera, right? Whereas Deontay and Scott are stand-ins, and Katya, they often did background stuff. Renee mostly didn't, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know if she chose not to. But it's weird because she popped on camera. Like,
she looked great.
I remember when you get to set, the stand-ins show you, you know, what it is that you're supposed to do. And sometimes if it's complicated, you go by the monitor so you can see exactly what it is that's happening. And Renee always popped on camera. It was like, why don't you just, you should be an actress, girl. Why don't you just, you know.
Well, I'm sure she was trying. I remember that too, Donald. I remember like when you'd often look at the stand-ins on the monitor and Renee had that thing that just sort of popped on camera. The camera loved her. She looked great. And she finally got a line. She offers Kelso booze.
Yep, she does.
So this very first scene you're in, you're naked.
I am naked.
Now, what was that like? We're playing golf. How was my swing, first of all?
Horrible. One, I have a sock on my it was a cod piece, obviously.
So it's just you just jam it all in a tube sock?
Balls and shaft jammed into a tube sock, pretty much.
Balls and shaft. And if you jam all that in a sock, it's likely to stay unless you do too much jumping.
Right, yeah.
Did you take a rubber band?
Rubber band circulation situations when you rubber band it. Rubber band is a circulation situation.
Right.
But so I did that. Also, when watching it, I remember thinking I was so heavy back then. Like, oh, man, I'm so out of shape. I'm so overweight. I wish I had that frame now, man. My butt was fire.
I don't think I thought you looked good.
That my waist looked like, oh my God, I had the waist of a 14-year-old boy. I was looking good, son. Like that was right. That was right. Like I was like, if I could get back to, I remember being, it's like I think I weighed like 185, 190 back then. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, wow, I'm overweight. Because 175 was my fight weight, right? And I was like, I'm really overweight. I wish I was 190 right now. Mm-hmm. I wish I could get back to that weight right now. Oh, my goodness gracious. I probably could. I bet you my knees wouldn't hurt anymore. I wouldn't have back issues anymore. Oh, my God. But the work to get there. I Peloton. Did you Peloton today?
I Peloton, baby. I Peloton every day. You Peloton today? I Peloton 5 days a week. That's my jam.
5 days a week. You did it today?
5 days a week. Yeah, today.
I did it too. How long did you do it for?
30 minutes. Cody.
I did 45 minutes, Cody. Which
one
did you do?
Oh, good for you. I did whatever, like one of the most recent 30-minute pop rides.
I'm trying, man. But, I'm like part of me starting to think like, yo, do I need these Nugenics and shit like that? Do I need these testosterone pills? Like, what the heck? I want to look like I did when I was 25. Do you know
it's
what I looked
diet.
Like when I was 25?
It's like 75% diet.
More than that. It's like 98% diet, dude.
Yeah. You got to think of it like ridiculous. Everyone gets all complicated. It's just math. How many? Yeah. How much you putting in? How much you burning?
But you could put, that's the crazy thing is you could put as, what's the matter, Daniel?
That's just that it's just the most woeful truth. That's all. I'm just, you know, sighing at the, you're right. Just eat better.
Every time it's, I see all these people with their, every time people, I see people with these complicated diets, I'm like, it's not rocket science. It's just calorie math.
But it's not just calorie
math. I'm not saying it's not hard to pass on the fucking shit you want to eat, but it's not complicated.
But you could eat all the protein in the world though, man, and just, and still drop weight. So I don't know if it's calories though, right? Calories isn't necessarily what it is.
It's what you put in versus how much you burn.
Right. All I know is, man, I look back at that and I'm like, wow, I look tasty. I was a snack. I was yeah. a fucking
Your titties
snack.
Look really perky. You had like a, they, like a solid B cup.
They, that was a straight up A cup, man. That was A.
Those
that
were nice, and they were perky, and the and Hershey's Kisses looked delicious.
Is there something smaller than the A? I had a training bra. That's how nice my titties.
No,
were
I think there. They're perky A's. Those are perky
no,
A's.
No, they were. I had training bra. Like I was working on growing some titties. Like I was working on it. Like
but they're
that's
hard.
How good. They
they're
were
hard.
Hard
the good
right.
kind of titties.
It was like I just went through puberty, and the nipple was hard. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
So therefore,
I don't know if we're allowed to say that, but okay. You know, I had a thing. I had a thing when I was in going through puberty where I started to get little breasts.
Yeah, you get those little freaking hard. Yeah. You get little yeah. rocks in your nipples
yes.
and they hurt and stuff
yeah.
like that. Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
And that happens to boys. They start to get a little estrogen and they get little beginner breasts. And my brothers had seen on like the Jerry Springer show that these guys who were steroid freaks got a thing they called bitch tit. Which if you take too much roids, I guess you also start to get a little bit of a small breast. And so my brothers thought that was hilarious. And they would look. I mean, it was the kind of thing you could see if I had my shirt off. And they'd be like, oh, you got bitch tit. And I'm like, I don't have bitch tit. The doctor says it's going to go away. They're like, yeah, that's bitch tit.
Yo, can we talk about one thing that this show.
Where's Judy? She's not on yet?
She's here.
She's here.
Ladies and gentlemen. Please give hey. It up for Judy
Reyes. Hi,
Judy.
Guys.
How
Happy
you doing?
Belated birthday.
Thank you.
Judy, you
it
look
was
beautiful.
Just recently, wasn't it?
November.
That's a long
that's
time
too
ago.
Belated,
that's too belated.
That's
like,
too belated.
I'm so old, it's not even funny.
That's too belated. Belated.
It was a while ago.
That might be that
Judy
might
of all
even,
the people
I might,
we,
not even, I might be like that might have been rude of me to say happy
it was
birthday.
You should have just let
it take it listen
that's how belated it was
it Jeez. Is all right I will take it how are you I don't even remember your birthday that's how old I am so I'll take it
my birthday is in June it's a summer it's a summer birthday
that's okay
I hated my birthday when I was in high school and in school because my birthday always fell during summer break. And so I could never have parties with my classmates because of my birthday being in June. So that always sucked.
Oh, poor you.
I know it sucked, man. It wasn't until I was an adult that the parties really got fly.
Judy Reyes, of all the people we ever had on this little podcast, people demand more Judy Reyes.
Is that it's like, true?
It is.
Yeah,
is
it
that
is.
Really
look
true?
At Joelle.
Yeah.
Look at Joelle.
Yeah.
Hi, Joelle. What's up, Joelle?
Hi, Judy. I'm good. How are you?
So happy to see you. How? Oh, there you are. How are you doing?
Joelle just got moved into her new home, so she's beaming ear to ear now.
Oh, moving during COVID. God bless you.
Yeah.
It was that, hot.
That shit is tight.
Moving is hard.
But we're so happy to
moving
see you.
Moving is hard anyway. Nice to see you. Thanks for having me back.
And we love having you. And this thing has become more popular than Donald and I ever thought it would be. And the people just email Joelle and they say, more Judy Reyes.
Well, I appreciate that. And here I am.
Here you are. I'm
very happy
I
that
hope
you're
I
here.
I can accommodate.
I have a question to ask.
Go.
We'll get right into it.
I know.
Is there such thing as sex after marriage? Because I don't think that shit exists.
Can I just tell you that I am fucking like crazy.
Whoa!
Yeah!
What?
Judy?
What? What?
Thunderous applause, Dan. Thunderous applause.
I'm turning my key for that one. Dan, keep it going. Yeah. Keep it going, Dan'l.
Dan'l, maybe add some woo-hoos in the audience.
Woo-hoos. Some yeah, some right arms.
To know and be embarrassed, it is ridiculous.
Add some, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, Judy, what's your secret? Because Dan, Donald is not having
you know
as much
what?
Success.
I am.
No, I'm having success.
I every 6 months, I leave for 6 months and I'm working away.
Right.
This is the first time where I leave where we're actually getting along. This man is amazing. Okay. Can I tell? He's a lot to deal with. Don't get me wrong. But he also is an amazing parent. A lot of fun, unpredictable, and an amazing griller, and a really, really good person.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, and he's, you know, it's the person who calls you out on all your shit that either you hang in there with or you don't make it with. So,
right.
And that's the guy.
Well, and, your daughter is so adorable, Judy.
She's
every time
adorable.
I...
She says, she goes, can I come say hi?
Yeah,
come on, and it took you, you know, she came here at 2 o'clock on the dot, 2:01.
She's
you
so
know,
cute.
You guys didn't come up till like till 2:06, so she's still in school, so she went back up.
Every time you post about her, I see her. She's this special little girl.
She's got that
her.
Energy.
She's a lot, and she's going. You know, she's 11 now. And this,
does she want to be an actress?
I think so. You know, she wants to be a filmmaker. She wants
good.
To be in the business. No, aww. Somehow I'm afraid.
But when I met
imagine.
Her, Judy, when we did that last thing, reunion thing at the Roosevelt Hotel, and she has such a big personality, and she's so gregarious and you know, inquisitive. I just was like, oh, this girl's gonna be an actress.
And yeah. Loving and sweet and surprising and hilarious. You know, I have a lot of fun, and she drives me absolutely fucking nuts.
Really? She seems like such a good kid. She can
is
be naughty.
A good kid, but yeah, she can be naughty. And now she's 11. She's going into puberty now.
Uh-oh. Yeah, so she wears her heart on her sleeve.
Puberty is like, you know what? I'm menopause is puberty at like fucking 53. That's exactly what it is. You go through all the changes. And you have daughters. You know what it is. You know, like they discover their power and they go through the emotional changes. They don't know why. It comes from somewhere. And it's a lot. You know, what you try to respect them. You don't want to be your mom, and then you see why your mom was your mom, and then you see you being your mom, and then you hate yourself, and then you figure out what was I thinking,
right.
Having a child at 41. Oh my God!
Now you did it at the right time. See, that's the thing, man. Everybody does it when they're real young, and that's the mistake, man.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and the pressure is the clock's ticking, whatever. You know what I mean? That's the pressure that they throw on women, and you know what I mean, and on young couples and stuff like that. But you're not ready for a kid until you're much older, man. You got to be like in your 30s to 40s.
The opposite of that is that you have the energy and the time to spend with them, you know?
That is true, right. When I was younger, I was able to run around on the jungle gym with my kids and stuff like that. My kids asked me to run around the house, and I'm like, you know what? I'll give you about 2 minutes, and that's about all I got, kids.
That's
you
what worries me. Maybe I'm too old to have kids now.
Never.
I may have missed my window.
No, now is the time. You're prime.
You're absolutely perfectly ready for them. You're absolutely. You're like you have the love of a grandparent.
No. I don't know. I always thought that I was definitely going to have kids, but now I'm not sure.
Wow, you don't know.
I don't know. You really don't know that. And then once you know, you get to that place, you're like, oh, fuck yes.
Yeah.
I swore I was not going to have a kid. And then I remember George and I were finished, absolutely finished. I left him in New York. Hold on a second. Come on. Here she is.
Let's see her.
Hi.
Layla, everybody.
What's
Hi,
up, girl?
Layla.
She can't hear us.
No, she can't hear you. Say hi.
Hi.
Hi,
How's
Layla.
What's happening? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Chilling. Good. Chilling.
Okay. That's
cool.
Legit, Layla. I gotta go.
I know.
Close the door.
And the kids
are so mad. See, it had to happen.
She's so cute. All right, let's dive into the show, shall we?
Yep.
Well, we're just talking, Judy, about Donald walking naked through the parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
And how fierce his body was.
Yes.
I miss it. I wish I still looked like that.
Was it hard to get
that? I'm talking about thinking about getting on that freaking, getting my blood work done and getting that testosterone.
You don't need testosterone. You need to stop eating chicken and waffles.
That shit tastes too good. I need something to speed up that metabolism, dog.
There's no shortcuts.
But, like, did you work out metabolism really hard booster to get to that place?
No, back then, that was when I could eat whatever I want. As a matter of fact, when I look back at that, that was when people were making fun of me for being too heavy on television. People were saying I was too heavy. I look back at that now. I wish I looked like that. I wish I had that ass. That ass is fire. That when you said like Taye Diggs, that was like Taye Diggs, big dog. Yeah,
you could eat a sandwich off that thing. Now listen, do you think testosterone, Daniel, does testosterone do anything?
In terms of your
or what about what
in terms of metabolism?
No, in terms of like if you're 45, 46 like we are, there are dudes who take testosterone, but your testosterone needs to be low. What about HGH? That's the thing that the old people take.
Well, that makes your neck big. I don't know.
Yeah, that, I mean, I don't know about. I don't listen, man. I don't want to look like that. I just want to be able to go to the gym. No, I just want to go to the gym, work out, and actually lose weight after I work out. Now, you know what I mean?
If you let me, I'll design your diet for you for 2 weeks, and you'll lose weight.
It's gonna have to be. You have to jumpstart that shit because I'm gonna need some like just straight up like liquid diet first.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. It's just like the wheat. So it's the same thing with the wheat. So I'm trying to stop smoking the wheat and I'm trying to eat it instead because smoking it in time, that's going to do way more damage than ingesting it, right?
Right.
So I'm trying to switch to the eating part. But my tolerance is so high from the smoking that it's like, you know, I'm eating all of this THC right now. And so I went to my spot. And the young lady behind the counter was like, you just got to go cold turkey for 2 weeks. Just don't smoke.
Are you doing
and
that?
Then
don't smoke and don't eat or just don't smoke?
Yeah, nothing.
Don't do anything.
Uh-huh.
For 2 weeks straight.
Eating's not going to get you high.
She said you'd be surprised how quick, once you stop smoking, edibles freaking work. Like out of nowhere, 10 milligrams of THC all of a sudden gets you stoned. Mm-hmm. Whereas right now I can eat 200 milligrams of THC and I'm like, when is it kicking in? Is it going to kick in anytime soon?
I like to take a gummy because it helps me sleep.
Me too.
Yeah, because I get night sweats.
If you don't.
Oh, well, I get them anyway, but they wake me up and then I can't go back to sleep.
So you've had trouble. So you're eating an indica gummy that's going to help you go to sleep, I imagine, right?
Or keep going back to sleep, even though a night sweat will just, I'm not asleep and then I'll wake up. I'll sit up until it passes and then I'll get chilly again and go back to sleep. Whereas if I don't, I get up, I'll get cranky and then I'm just waiting for the next one. It's hard to go back to sleep and then I'm going to bathroom.
You're a grown woman. Holy shit.
I'm old, yo.
You're a grown woman.
I'm straight up grown. Straight up grown.
Now, a thing that keeps coming up in this episode is what Donald started to mention. And Judy, you said you do not have this problem. But it comes up twice in the episode, this idea that men want more sex in marriage than women. Elliot says to Carla, you never have to have sex except for when you actually want to, meaning when she's married. And then Jordan says to Cox, he says, can we have sex? And she says, do what you have to do. Don't wake me up. And puts the eye shade on her eyes. So, I mean, is this stereotype really true?
Yes.
You are an example of the stereotype being true. Judy's a stereotype of the Judy's an example of it not being true.
No, she said she's had. They're in a great moment right now. She
we
didn't
are
say,
in a great moment. We don't. I mean, we have sex on the weekends. Like during the week, we don't have sex at all. But we drink on the weekends, you know. And then we fuck on the weekends.
Yeah.
You know?
I just wonder
but
if the stereotype.
We don't bother. We don't really.
By the way, when Judy says "fuck" on the weekends, I got a little movement. I got a little shifty.
Oh my god!
Sorry, Judy. It just moved like a millimeter to the left.
It moved more than a millimeter.
By the way, we're offering a new ringtone, everybody. It's Judy Reyes saying fuck on the weekend.
Hashtag.
So I always wonder, because Donald, you always complain about it, and of course it's this trope in society, like women don't want as much sex as men, and once they're married they can. But no, I don't know if it's always true. I'm sure there's
no,
people
it
listening.
True. It isn't true, because you obviously have sex when you're married. Men are told when you get married, you're going to have sex all the time.
Is that what you're told? Who told you that shit?
Who told you that? I never heard that.
Who told you that shit? That's
that person was wrong. That person was wrong.
I assumed, like everyone else did.
That, you know what happens. What happens when you assume.
Yeah, you make an ass out of yourself and the person that you assume. No doubt. Yeah. But I assumed.
No, motherfucker, do the work. You know what I mean? And that's a two-person job. And that's a painful journey. You know, you know, when you're in a good moment, you know, it takes both of you trying to stay sexy.
But that's the thing. She is sexy always.
Yes, she is.
Like, mm-hmm. always
she's
sexy.
She's fine as hell.
She breathes, and I'm like, God damn, I'm not so fucking sexy. You know what I mean? Whereas, I don't know that I'm sexy. Like, she says I'm handsome and stuff like that. She gives me compliments every once in a while. But mm-hmm. it'll be like out of the blue, where it'll be like, you know, where I'll be like, I don't know if I have a chance at this part. She'll be like, yeah, you do, baby. You are as handsome as you are, you definitely have a part. You definitely, who are they going to hire? You know what I mean? Like, she's the best hype person when it comes to
Dulé Hill?
Right. Well, Dulé deserves all of that. Listen, man, you know how I love Dulé. So anyway, but when I look at my wife, I look at it like, God, wow, she's so beautiful. I'd need it now. I don't think she looks at me that way. And I know she doesn't actually. And when I say it, she's like, oh yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah, yeah, sure. You know what I mean? It's like
are you thinking that has to do with you or just the way she is? You know,
I think some of it's me. I think I've pushed it so far to the point where now it's like, you know, it's annoying. I'm sure I'm annoying now. You know. But it's the stereotype. It really is the stereotype. Like, I really do believe that, you know, I thought truthfully that when mm-hmm. you're married, it's open season. And yeah, sure, there's times, most of the time you're in a relationship and you're in a partnership and you're being partners mm-hmm. and stuff, but it's open season on each other's ass, you know what I mean?
Like, but don't you think, didn't you assume that you guys were going to kind of get comfortable and used to each other and that it wasn't going to happen as much as you thought it was going to happen?
Yeah.
You misread that.
I did. And this is my second time getting married, and this is the second time this has happened to me.
All right. Well, if you ever get married a third time.
That happened in my first marriage. In my first marriage, and it happened immediately, like the second I'm married. But I'm a horny person, so right. And I'm telling you, at my wedding, this man did not touch me the second day, and I was like, whoa, what's happening?
Wow.
And I was worried, and I got worried. I was like, oh shit, and it was an uncomfortable comfort level that felt like, what's going on here? But he was substantially older than me. You know what I mean? An incredible, bright, artistic, really brilliant person. But we just fell out of a balance. I don't know what happened.
A groove.
You know?
A groove.
Yeah. And of a groove. Or there was two different grooves. You know what I mean?
Well, me and Case, we got a groove going. There's definitely a groove there. I just want more groove. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You want to get
like,
in the groove.
I'm like, can we add a little bit more bass? a little bit more hi-hat?
All right, listen, we're going to go to break.
Jamming.
We're going to go to break.
We could get a little bit more electric guitar.
We're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
Musically.
And we're back. All right. Let's talk a little bit more about the show, guys. We have Judy Reyes here. Judy, what's your memory of this? It was your fictional wedding. Do you have any fun memories of this time?
I do. I remember that my sister and Freddie Rodriguez were on the show, and that was really cool.
Yeah.
And I rewatched the episode. I remember there was this really cute skirt that I was wearing that I kept. Mm-hmm. And just up until like 2 years ago, I still had.
Which dress was it? Which skirt?
No, this little skirt that was striped. Mm.
I still have clothes from Scrubs too. I was, right? I caught a sweater on the show the other day that I still love. I still have and love.
And I remember the Ted and the guys singing the whole time. That was really
yeah.
So
yeah,
funny.
I remember that. I remember. I definitely remember that. I didn't remember Johnny Castle. Like Johnny Castle had a really big role on the show by this point.
Yes,
in the, yeah, he's making out with my girlfriend, Danny.
Yes,
and we don't talk about him enough. But I didn't realize. You know, I always remember Johnny Castle being around and everything like that, but I truthfully forgot that Doug was such a big part of this show.
Yeah.
You know, and he's hilarious in this episode with the whole Danny, Ted.
I laughed out loud when Doug and Ted get in a fight and they pop up and he's got like a bloody lip. That was so funny.
And they're singing.
That's so funny, Judy. When you come into the wedding and you're like, "Nobody look at me!
Nobody look at me!" That whole build, the "Nobody look at me" bit. I remember when High Five Todd was about to have a fight over Danny, and I kept waiting. Oh, this is where he takes off the jacket, and he's got no sleeves.
Yeah. Oh my God. Rob Mascio had some funny stuff in this episode.
Yeah, he really did.
He's so funny when your brother says. Teaches him Spanish, and he's like, "I don't know. None of my Spanish pickup lines aren't working." He goes, "Well, say it to me again. Let me see what you're saying." And what he's saying is, "I have genital herpes for you."
And then he goes, "Mucho
para ti,
yeah, mucho herpes, grande."
Yeah.
And then he answers his phone. Go for the Todd.
And I remember. Waiting for Elliot, because I rewatched the whole thing, obviously, waiting for Elliot to run into Elliot's ex. And he was going, "Oh, yeah, that's right. He's going to have the big beard.
Scott Foley.
Dude, he let himself go pretty fast. In 4 days.
In 4 days, he grew quite a beard. And he says,
I'm a quarter Hungarian.
I'm a quarter Hungarian.
That was weird. That was crazy. And the other thing that made me laugh also was where's Carla's sister? They're out looking for an eyebrow. That's going to be hard to do on Saturday, seeing how his eyebrows being closed. They're going to have to go all the way across town to the eyebrow hut. That shit was very funny.
I can't imagine that your sister would ever even look at Elliot again if that had really happened.
Oh, my God, no. My sister.
That's a fight, dude.
That is a fight. That should have been a fight.
Not all eyebrows grow back, right? Or do they always grow back?
I mean, you would hope they grow back.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you have to re-wax. But it takes a while.
But I would be afraid.
Every 3 weeks.
Yeah, you look so weird without eyebrows.
Who would let Elliot wax?
I know.
Their eyebrows? I would, as a friend and as a sister, I was like, for both of your sake, do not let
Yeah, I don't know why. But anyway, Elliot eyebrows. Walks in the house. First of all, she's wearing this wacky shirt. I don't understand. And she comes in, and then your sister's like, "Elliot, help me with wax my eyebrow." And she's like, "Sure." But then she gets distracted.
But out of nowhere, though, dude.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. Hey, but help then me she wax rips off my
the,
eyebrow.
She rips off the eyebrow, and she goes, "How thin did you want to go?"
It's a good thing you have a small forehead.
That is so funny.
Go
ahead.
This wasn't necessarily the most stoner. This was like more John Hughes-esque of an episode when I watched it. You know what I mean? Like, this made you feel good. It wasn't like, there wasn't anything. We weren't really bending reality with this episode like we have been in the past like 5 or 6 episodes.
Except Scott Foley grew a year long beard.
Right, in 4 days. That's the only part. Other than that, man, pretty much, like, this is an episode where we try to tug at the heartstrings without killing someone. You know what I mean? We tried it with love. And that was really cool.
It was a very romantic one.
And but even how the show is shot, if you look at the way the show is shot, it's very dreamy looking. Like the stock of film that it's on, it looks different, you know?
Yeah, I think it's either filters or the stock or both. Yeah, it had a dreamy quality to it.
I love how, like, no matter what happens, they have a sense of humor. And they just, you know, go on their honeymoon. They get pissed. they can't talk to each other right now, but they end up, you know, at the end, just, you know, together, you know?
Yeah. And she's so fucking patient. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
It's probably what Casey has to deal with, but man, Carla is so understanding and patient with this fucking guy.
Yeah. I swear. That's what everybody wants to hear.
I laughed out loud when you went, "For the last time, mermaids aren't real." I know what I saw.
that goes all the way to the last episode, pretty much, of season of when you tell Elliot that you love her more than Turk.
That's in the Bahamas.
Yep, that's the last that episode. We do the whole mermaid thing. There's a whole all of that stuff. We get into it.
I don't remember.
Like, Shalina plays the mermaid.
Oh, Shalina was a mermaid, yeah.
And I know what I saw. And we do the whole I know what I saw thing again.
I saw.
That's funny.
All the way to the end.
That was funny.
Every wedding, Turk has mermaid fantasies.
Well, you really do. I mean, Carla really does have patience with him because he's a good man. But, man, he fucks up a lot. I mean, he didn't even go to the right church.
Well, that's understandable, though, man. Come on. We had the conversation in the beginning of the show. We set it up for you so that you knew it was going to happen.
Well, but I mean, come on. It's one thing if you change churches, but I mean, the groom doesn't know where his entire friends and family are all waiting for him.
We set it up in the beginning of the show. You didn't see that coming?
Of course, I saw it as a plot device, but I'm just saying in the world of... It's fun to sometimes look at these through the glass of a little bit of reality and be like, this guy is so clueless and so checked out of what's happening. Obviously, Carla did every ounce of planning.
Hold up. Well, yeah, you know what? As much as I would like to believe I am not like Turk.
Yeah, you're the same way.
I think I'm pretty much like, for my wedding, guess who planned the wedding? Exactly.
Yeah.
Guess who takes care of the kids? Exactly. Guess who, you know what I mean? Like,
well, you need a woman who's very patient, and you have one, and Carla was very patient with Turk.
Carla was the most patient. Carla's the blueprint. She's the blueprint queen. of what dudes like me are looking for. She's the blueprint of it. Like, she's the understanding, sexy, freaking motherly, ball busting, like everything that somebody like that would need. Like, she's the perfect nurse. She's the perfect, you know what I mean? She should be a nurse practitioner. She probably is
by now.
Well, she should be doing a lot more than she, like, she's that dope. Like, she's like the blueprint of the perfect woman.
The dream.
The dream of the perfect woman.
She is the perfect woman. Not the blueprint, she fucking is. That's right. Why everybody wants to hear from her.
Yeah. Well, I bet there's a lot of people were like, "Oh, I want a woman just like Carla."
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
I did. I went out and married her. What are you talking about? I went out and married her.
How about when the janitors caught stealing silverware? That was very funny.
That was funny. What's up with Quark, though?
Yeah. What?
And then he had a date.
He brought a date, and she's like, he's like, forks, and I go, "Is our forks where the money is?" He goes, "Forks and ladles." I like that he invited himself to the wedding and is robbing it like the Thénardiers in Les Misérables.
But not only is he robbing it, he's also gearing up his fashion. Well, this is part of robbing it, but. He finds a tie.
Yeah, he's stealing clothes.
He finds a jacket.
He comes in his uniform, and then he's just accessorizing it with other things.
Do you think Turk and Carla invited him, though?
No.
Or they didn't invite him?
No.
You don't think they invited him?
Well, he says he wasn't invited. He says he works there on weekends or something, right?
No, he crashed that wedding. He 100% crashed the wedding. He brought a date and everything.
He brought a date. He brought a date to help rob his friends.
Yeah.
Not his friends, his co-workers.
I never understood why it was so easy for Carla to say, you know what, your boss can't come to the wedding. I would think that would be the easy, we got to keep this person on the list, let's cut some other people out, you know. But, you know, when it came time to get married, there were a lot of people, you know what I mean, who were left off. And it was like, how do you do this? How do you have a wedding? And, you know...
Yeah, but your direct boss, that feels like a bad person to diss.
No, I mean,
She wanted to come too. You offered her a consolation prize of a
that
of
didn't
a,
exist. That
of
didn't
a brunch.
That didn't exist.
That didn't
That's
exist.
So cold.
That's so cold.
That's so cold.
She's like, yeah, I'd okay. be honored. And you're like, I was lying. There is no brunch.
There isn't. There isn't.
Because it gets to the point where you're like, yo, how the fuck do you do this, man? You only have but so much. It's shit's really, 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 really expensive. Like yeah. you it's the most expensive party you've ever paid for in your life. And you're like, how do I you know what? You just do it. And you do it, and then all of a sudden you got friends that don't want to talk to you anymore. It's like, oh shit.
Did
I'm
that
sorry.
Happen to you?
I've several friends that I do not have conversations with because they did not come to my
Oh
wedding.
My God, that's so silly.
Because that's so crazy.
People are so silly. All right, on that note, we're going to go to a break, and then we have a guest that's going to have a very, very good question. We'll be right back. And we're back. All right, let them in, Daniel.
Vicky Dodd coming in.
Vicky What's Dodd.
Vicky Dodd, Dodd in the house. Vicky Dodd.
Hello.
Vicky Dodd in the house. Vicky Dodd.
What's All right. up?
Vicky Dodd in the house. Vicky Dodd.
Hi, Vicky. What's welcome, up? Welcome. Vicky All right, Donald. Welcome, Vicky Dodd.
Hey.
That's you have Donald, and of course you know the legendary Judy Reyes, and there's Joelle and Daniel, and the whole gang's
Hi,
here.
Vicky.
Hey, everybody. Judy, when I got on here and I was waiting to be let in, I was like, oh, Judy's on. Yes.
Yes, you scored. Dodd? Vicky Dodd, you scored. First of all, I want to mention to the listeners that Vicky Dodd is rocking the sexiest onesie that's available all across the earth.
That's right.
Is it available?
Yeah, it's still available, we I think.
And I'm a little hurt that I'm not on there.
Well, Judy,
I'm just kidding, y'all.
We can. We didn't have the rights. We didn't have the rights to your likeness.
Maybe on there or in there. Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, shucks. Vicky Dodd. Vicky Dodd's in the house.
Vicky, where are you
Vicky
calling
Dodd,
from?
Vicky Dodd's in the house. Vicky Dodd.
I'm in the Midwest. Okay. Here in the States.
And I can see out your window. It looks very chilly and cold.
It is. Yeah, we had some snow a couple of days ago. You see my IT guy behind me.
Is that your husband?
That is my husband.
Oh, good. He's
What's
helping me with the IT.
Can I tell them your name?
Yes.
He's a private guy.
Hey, private guy, private guy's married to Vicky Dodd.
We can like beep his name if he's like wanted by the FBI or something like that.
No, his name's Simon, and okay. He's the best husband ever.
Aww.
Vicky Dodd and Simon Dodd.
I'm the one right. that got the best.
Good work. Vicky, tell us, we don't have a ton of time today, so tell okay. us your question. Let's dive right into it.
Diving right in. Okay, well, I've got it right here. So I'm someone who has always obsessed over TV. TV has always been there. It's a comfort, et cetera. And so like the backstage stuff I'm always interested in, but maybe I'm lucky because I don't know about the backstage stuff. So I can just enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know how the sausage is made.
Yes.
So is it difficult for you when you're watching a TV or a TV show or a movie to just like enjoy the story rather than think on, you know, everything that's going on behind it, everything that went into making it and all that sort of thing? Is it difficult to just enjoy your entertainment?
That's a very good question. Judy, you want to start off?
Sometimes when it feels like something really sucks, it's hard to not think, oh my God, that lighting, that shot, that mm-hmm. scene, what are they thinking? That's really terrible. You know, but when it's so, but when it's magnificent, oh, what a beautiful room, incredible scene. She's really good. In that sense, sometimes you get completely lost in a beautiful story, something that's really, really well shot. So does that kind of answer your question? Sometimes it can be yeah. a little distracting how magnificent someone will really stand out. I know when I did my first film, I was completely distracted mm-hmm. by how the sausage is made, so to speak.
Yeah.
And you know, so in that regard, but when something is really put together, you can get really you do get really lost.
What about you, Donald?
I agree with what Judy said. When it's really bad, it's really easy to see the bells and the whistles. You know what I mean? It's you notice it right away. It's like, you know, it always depends on how good the story is. But then it's a double-edged sword because then you can go too far and all of a sudden you've lost everyone because you've gone too far. And now it's become more about how beautiful the shots are and not necessarily the story you're telling. At the end of the day, you're always telling. The job is to tell a story and not necessarily show how fancy you can be with a camera. You know what I mean?
Right.
I agree. I sometimes love it when it's so good that I'm lost in it. But even when I'm lost in it, I'm going, who the fuck is this composer? That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or I'm
right.
going, oh shit, they did it. That fucking crane move was so dope. You know, I can't help but constantly be thinking about the technical aspects of how something was done. But that doesn't mean you don't get lost in it still. There's certain things, bad acting, you know, I think as actors first and foremost, when you might go, someone who's not in the business go, oh, this actor's not the best, but it's fine. We're like cringing, like, oh, how did this person get the part? They're ruining the movie, you know?
I can imagine that would be that way, yeah.
It's the same way, you know, whenever you do. You know, my father was a lawyer, and he hated courtroom movies because they were always so incorrect. And I'd be like, Dad, it's drama. They have to dramatize it. And watching it, the real thing would be boring. And he's like,
right.
And I was just watching a show, and I thought of him. It was Your Honor, the Bryan Cranston show, which I'm really enjoying. But there was a courtroom moment where I could just feel my dad like sitting up and being like, what the hell? That would never happen. And, you know, so for whatever your job is and anyone listening, right. If you're watching, I'm sure there's examples where you've seen someone do that in a movie. And you're like, that's not how it is. That's how we sometimes feel when we're watching movies. All right. Let's go right to Fix Your Life so we can maximize it. Ready, Donald?
Excellent.
It's time to fix your life.
Judy's face is like, what the fuck is going on?
What the fuck is happening?
Well, now we offer free therapy, Judy.
Vicky Dodd's life right now.
What's your problem?
So, Judy, you're gonna weigh in and help Vicky Dodd. Vicky Dodd, go ahead.
Oh, so Judy has just outed herself that she hasn't listened for a while.
Yeah, Judy, thanks a lot.
Know that they fix our lives.
Yeah, we do.
All right, I'm here to help.
All right, Vicky,
awesome.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I am a medical receptionist, and I have been able to get my first COVID vaccine.
Congratulations.
Yes.
How do you feel?
Thank you. I feel fine.
Can I ask you a question? I got a bunch of questions now. You just opened up okay.
Hit me.
Pfizer or Moderna?
I got Moderna.
You got Moderna. Did you feel sick after you got Moderna?
No. Okay. The only side effect I had... I had a very mild headache right in the temple area for probably about 36 hours.
Okay.
That's all I've had, but I haven't had my second dose yet. And I think the second dose is the one that's really supposed to hit you.
How soon till your second dose?
I have 2.5 more weeks to wait.
Oh, okay. So you just literally just got the first dose then?
Week and a half ago. Okay. Yeah, the Moderna is a 4-week wait. The Pfizer is a 3-week.
Okay.
Well, congratulations on getting it.
Thank you.
Obviously, our medical front lines, we need to make sure they have it first. So we're glad you have it.
So how to fix my life when I'm dealing with people who could get the vaccine and choose not to.
Yeah.
That's such a tough one.
Such as coworkers, because I want to respond and behave in a loving way, but it makes me crazy and very frustrating.
Especially because you have to work with them in close proximity. Do they give you reasons that they're not taking it?
That was my question.
I think they just have not seemed to take the whole thing seriously through the get-go. And they're not, you know, can I say they're not Trumpsters?
Yeah.
Sure. It's fine.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like they're Trumpsters that are buying into his stupidity.
Okay. Now you've crossed the line, Vic. No, I'm just kidding. Go on.
I'm sorry, Donald.
You're fine. Go on.
But yeah, it's extra problematic for me because I'm on a medication that suppresses my immune system.
Mm.
So if I get it, you know, I have extra
danger of it going very poorly.
Have you thought about speaking to the doctors or the bosses of the establishment and saying, hey, have you guys considered mandating this for your workers?
My boss isn't taking it seriously either.
Oh, that's a problem.
We're not doctors. We're medical, but we're not doctors. Hey, it's like you, fake doctors.
Yeah.
You know, Vicky, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how to combat that. I know that you have rights and I know that they have rights, you know,
right.
At the end of the day. That's tough because, you know, it I don't know, man. I don't know how to tackle this. I'm going to be honest with you. This is something that I don't know. This is something
it's
that
hard.
I don't.
It's something well, yeah, that we're all going to have to
it's
face.
It's really hard. Yeah, we everybody's all have to
gonna,
face that.
Yeah, everybody's going to have to address this at some point.
Yeah,
this
because like
I know a lot of people are afraid to take it, though. A lot of people are afraid to say they don't know, they don't feel confident in taking it.
And I want to thank you guys because one of the reasons why, or one thing that helped me to start feeling more comfortable was when you had the real JD on.
Good. Mm. Good.
It was very educational. I really appreciate it.
Look at
I
mean, that, I've Donna. Learned... We made a difference. We helped Vicky Dodd choose to get vaccinated.
That's what's up.
At the end of the day, whether we get vaccinated or not, I know ultimately you are more protected, but you still right. have to wear your mask at work.
You yeah, know? I, so, feel like, you know, I feel like, you know,
whether
I,
they get vaccinated or not, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, I'm so, just trying to think about what, if, you know, if it was our world. Can you imagine you go to a set and the vaccinations are available for everybody and your coworker's not going to take it? I mean, that would be very frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Well, it happens with the flu. You know, flu shots are available at work sometimes and some people take it and some people don't. It's a matter of choice of whether you want it or not. This is what I don't understand. It's everybody's right to do whatever you want to do when it comes to this vaccine. But
right.
at least when it comes to wearing a mask, we know the science is real. We know that listen, COVID is now the number one killer in America. The number one. So we know that's real. Regardless of if you want to take the vaccine or not, we know the one thing that's helping stop the spread of it is masks. And we're so far in now to hear about people not wanting to wear masks is ridiculous. Even after you vaccine, you're gonna still have to wear a mask.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This is something that we're gonna have to do for at least two to three years. It's gonna be a part of our culture. Masks is gonna be the new. It's gonna be the new way. Maybe even longer than that.
I don't know.
Why are we fighting this right now? Why are we still fighting this?
Had a 73-year-old woman that came into my office. She had no mask. She's licking her fingers and touching things. Oh.
Oh my goodness.
That sounds like she was trying to provoke.
Speaking of on the front lines, you must have to deal with some really tough Karens.
I have had some interesting people, it is true. I've had the person who personalizes their mask with, you know, mask of obligation, you know, handwritten in permanent marker, and it's like, yeah, you're really edgy. I don't care why you're wearing it. I'm just glad you're wearing it, and I'm not going. I'm not going to have this conversation.
Unreal.
Yeah.
There was another. There's always these viral videos of people being anti-maskers, but there was one that went viral this weekend, and the guy, it was a Trader Joe's. I don't know if you saw it, and the guy is just so patient. He's a manager, and I just admired his patience. I don't have the amount of patience he had for this woman who was just berating him. And he was like, "Ma'am, I."
And he
can't.
Still never. And he still didn't let them in the store either. Which
no,
was
and he was. He was. You he saw still it too, kept Donald? Them out.
Yeah. I was very impressed with the fact that they're going crazy. They're going ape shit.
Yeah.
And he's being calm, and he even flips it on them. Like, I totally understand. It's your right not to.
He did some
wear
Jedi mind tricks on them.
Like totally. And now they're at the front door, like pretty much saying, okay, we know we can't go in, but like, I was very impressed with that, Zach.
Yeah, he was so, his voice, he was like, I wish I could be someone like this. I would lose my shit on this person. But she was being so aggressive and in his face. He's like, ma'am, I hear you and I understand you. And I understand why it's frustrating. And I mean, it was like talking to a child, but he was very patient and even toned. And they're screaming in his face that they want to go into his Trader Joe's without their masks.
And it's like yelling at him. Like if they have the virus, if they have coronavirus, he has it for sure, even with the mask on. Because they were that close to him. The virus.
Coronavirus. Shit is real.
Shit is real.
How long ago was that? That's
that was a year ago. That was a year ago.
That was a year ago. You can't even play.
Shit is real.
That shit is real.
That shit is real.
That shit is
real.
Oh, Cardi B.
That shit is like Hooch is crazy, dude.
Yeah.
Everybody, we were fucking around talking about, Hooch is crazy. Hooch is crazy. And then at the end of it, like, he's legit fucking crazy. He's crazy.
Well, Vicky Dodd, I don't know if we can handle that. That might be beyond our scope. Our pay grade. But as fake doctors, we want you to know that we empathize with you, and we see it. We see these people on the internet who are being not being team players. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
And
Maybe that's the way to do it. I wish you'd be more of a team player. Now that still wouldn't get it.
I feel for you.
You know what?
Just protect yourself. Get your second dose and always wear your mask.
And don't get cocky now that you have the vaccine. You know, be as diligent as you've been being.
Yeah, I am. I wear my mask in the office constantly. They seem to only wear their masks when they're around the patients. And it's like, I know one of you guys has brought it up in here. And I know this is not protecting me as much as if you wore yours, but it's the best I can do.
You know, it really is particularly frustrating because you have this autoimmune thing that you have to deal with. It's just so selfish, you know. It's really selfish. And I'm sorry about that.
I think it's more ignorant. You know what I mean? People really think that they are protected. It's just not smart. You know,
did you see all those people at the Bow Wow fucking concert?
Did you see those people after Alabama won? After Alabama won, people went outdoors and celebrated Alabama's victory, that college football game. Everybody's on the street celebrating. It's absolutely ridiculous.
At least I mean, that was bad, but at least they're outside. And I'll give them 1 point for being outside. That Bow Wow concert, that was a super spare event, that Bow Wow concert.
Bow Wow? When?
Just go Google it. It was viral like last couple of days, like packed club for Bow Wow. You didn't see that, Donald?
A club.
I did not. I'm not up on that. That's unfortunate.
It was like Texas. I think it was Houston.
I know exactly how that shit went. The shit went like, boom, boom, doo, 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 doom, doo. And the crowd,
Yep,
it was just corona everywhere.
It was a packed club. No one has masks on. And they're all like jamming to Bow Wow.
Right.
And I just heard babies all over my city unlatching.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep, so many babies unlatched.
We call him the unlatcher. All right. We got to wrap this up.
Vicky, you can hang out because we're going to wrap up the show.
Yeah. We got to wrap up. Vicky, you can stay because you're so charming.
I want to say one thing before we go, if that's okay.
Yes, yes, Vicky.
You can always cut it out. Yeah.
We're not going to cut anything Vicky Dodd says.
I want to give a shout out to my friend Keisha. She is my sister in TV love. And when I told her I was going to be on, she's like, no way, how, girl? And she physically reminds me of Joelle.
Okay.
So can you guys tell?
So she's a hot piece of ass?
She's She is very, very pretty. Yes. And I thought that I would just throw that out there.
Well, hello, Keisha.
What up, Keisha?
Hi, Keisha.
Keisha. You are the girl that I never had. And I wanted to get to know you better. Hi, Keisha.
Everybody, that's season three. Our recap of season three. Thank you, Judy Reyes, for being on the show.
Thank you,
Vicky Dodd.
And you were so good in this episode. You were so good in this episode, Judy.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We will be back next time when we will launch into season four with verve and gusto. And love. And we thank you all, as always, for listening.
Oh, wait. Before we go, I forgot one thing.
Go ahead.
The steps where we were married. Do you guys recognize that place? It's everywhere in every movie, damn near every movie, those steps exist. That's those steps that Judy came walking down. You can look in movies and television shows. It's everywhere. Just a little food for thought. Scrubs Wiki probably doesn't have it on the site. I did.
Okay. It's on Donald well. Wiki.
All right. It's on there Donald Wiki. There you go, Trevor.
There you go. Yeah, there you go, Trevor.
All right, Vicky, stay warm in your onesie. Joelle, enjoy your new house. And we love you all.
All right.
Donald, love you all.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made about a bunch of dogs and nurses and a